Oh, I love the church. I'm so indebted to the community that I got to find Christ in. And there's that saying that it takes a community to raise a child. I think it takes a community, a church community, to bring someone up in the Lord. And I have been blessed by many different communities throughout my journey in Christ. But I'm so thankful for not just Christ, but for the people that Christ connected me to. I'm thankful for a man named Christian McCudden who discipled me in my very, very new, fresh stages. And I would have been incredibly frustrating to him. I would have been incredibly disappointing at times to him. But he has stayed a faithful friend and mentor in my life. He still to this day, he's pastors a church now in Noosa, to this day calls me probably fortnightly just to see what's going on and how I'm doing. And I am so grateful for people. And so well done to you all, because you're all doing that for someone and some people around here. And we have to remember how powerful that is, what we actually bring as a body, which is awesome. We need each other. We need each other. It's not that we would like to hang out and therefore we kind of engage or disengage depending on how we are feeling about each other. We actually need each other. To be baptized into Christ is actually to be baptized into his body. You can't separate them. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 12:12, he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." So it is with Jesus. So it is with the Messiah. So it is with his plan for humanity. That just as the body has many members, but they are one, he had a plan to unite a people into one belief, one God, one Father, one Holy Spirit, one baptism. He decided to bring about his transforming power, his transforming plan for this world was not just going to involve him, he was going to involve an entire body of people, of New Testament, new community, new fellowshipping people. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized. We were baptized into one body. For a first century believer to be baptized into Christ was to be baptized into the body. It wasn't something that they accepted Jesus. They went into the waters of baptism, which for them had such great connotations. And we have to keep coming back to what we're doing. That baptism in water is really a as much as it is a spiritual thing, it is also a physical thing. It is a visual sermon consistently for us as believers and the world that we indeed are deciding to submerge our life into Jesus. For a first century Jew, they would go back all the way back in their mind to Exodus. That they would walk out of Egypt into and through the waters of the Red Sea. Out into a new community looking forward to a promised land. So when Jesus said you must be baptized, he was saying you got to get out of Egypt, submerge yourself into this life and this community, and look forward to what I'm going to do in this world. When John said you must baptize, it meant that you should repent, completely let go of an old life and pursue a new life. And as much as they were letting go and connecting and submerging their life into Christ, they were also submerging their life into a new community. They would let go of their old life, their old loyalties, and attach themselves to Christ as the head, but also to the body. You wouldn't separate it. To be baptized into Christ is to be baptized into his body. It's a past tense. Paul says, we are evaptis for men. The verb he uses for the word baptized, it's past tense. It's happened. As we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his body. It's amazing. The amazing phenomenon of the church was that they would take people of all different backgrounds, who normally wouldn't have anything to do with each other. For a Jew and a Gentile to hang out was like crazy. But he said, Jews or Greeks, Gentiles, slaves or free. In other scriptures, he would go on to extend that male or female. All of these insane divisions that existed within the community, he said, we are now all one in Christ Jesus. He crosses all cultural boundaries. He crosses all ethnic boundaries. He crosses all social boundaries. He crosses all political boundaries, praise Jesus. Why are we fighting about politics in the church? I don't understand it. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And we come together as one body under one head, Jesus Christ, brought together and sustained by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Community is sustained by His presence and power. It's amazing. I can come home and be a little bit frustrated with my nuclear community when my children are running around and things are happening and I'm stressed, but then the Holy Spirit can come in my heart and it unites us. The presence of God is always a uniting presence, never a dividing presence. He unites us. He unites us. They were connected communities existing to live out the message of their Messiah. They were communities so close, so loving, and so unified that this tiny beginning of the church unnerved the most powerful empire of the day. Rome was nervous by this little thing called the people of the way because they were so unified, so in touch with one another, so connected to each other with one common cause and value and purpose that they unearthed the most powerful Roman Empire of the day. That's crazy. That is insane. And the church today is no less powerful. With Christ as our head and the Spirit daily sustaining and connecting us with Him and with each other, we are sustained as a body, filled with the love given to us. And we give up our lives for each other. And we give up our lives for others as a community of love, becoming the representation of Christ into this world. We become a functioning community of God in this world. Ruby Cooper was onto it when she said, come on, let's sing this over Avalon. Because what we are doing is we are making a joyful noise of victory, a joyful noise of what Christ has done in our lives, and we should be doing it so loud and proud that the entire community is hearing it. Like, we need to declare God's goodness over this community. The early church was birthed out of a bunch of crazy people, so excited what God was doing, and so loud that just everyone around them heard it and 3,000 people came to Christ. That should be happening in this community. We should be loud ambassadors reflecting out the message of Christ, functioning as the message of Christ in this world. We function as reflectors of His love. We love one another with a divine, amazing love that is given to us by God, and we reflect that love out. We function as announcers of His good news. The good news that encountered our life and changed our life, we now declare together as a community out. We function as examples of His transformative power. Some of you here today would never have gotten on in anywhere, but He's transformed you. Some of you just would have hated people. You're like so choleric, it's scary. And you don't want to, but God has transformed you. He is transforming us consistently into this community that reflects out the transforming power of Jesus. Oh, I don't want to get distracted. I could. We are functioning as signposts, signals, saying there is something coming. That we have a hope of an eternal life, a hope of a new heaven and a new earth. This is the church. This is who we are. This is what we do. How exciting is that? The church is alive and incredible. But in order to function for God, we have to function as one. Connection is intentional. Connection's intentional. I have received the ability to connect with God through the sacrifice of Christ, which I now take hold of by faith. So it is a free gift that I've received, a free opportunity to connect. But then I must be intentional to remain connected to Christ. I have to be intentional to stay in relationship with Jesus. And likewise, we have been baptized into one body. It is a state, it is a spiritual reality that has happened, but we have to be intentional to maintain it. I have found in my own life through church that I have consistently had to be intentional about connection. That there is something in all of us that would like to try and disconnect us, isolate us. And I have to consistently push away from that feeling and remain intentionally connected. I started my journey in this church in our youth ministry. And so when you're in youth ministry, everything's just crazy and excited. And you just get on board and you're just all about it. And you're doing it with a team and you're doing it with people. So connection can come reasonably easy. And then we had our first child and began the journey as parents. And suddenly that's a whole new ball game. And what was so easy to do in ministry and youth ministry suddenly became really challenging. You basically live the first 6 months as a zombie, and you just kind of drag yourself to church. It's like a miracle you even were able to get out of bed and get to church, and you just arrive. And you know what? Me and Tam, we realized that the connection we once had that came so easily was starting to drift, and we were becoming isolated. We're in leadership in ministry and we were feeling isolated. So we decided, well, we're going to find connection. And we decided we're going to find connection with people that are probably in a similar kind of stage of life as us, because that's important. And it was really easy because we just looked for other zombies. Just anyone that looked flippin' tired, we knew they have small children, they will do. And we saw the Goosens, and we saw the Powers, and we saw the Ebsreys, and we saw all these couples, and we just started to form community together. And we would go camping together. We hate camping. We're terrible at camping, but we do it to keep connection. We do it to keep community. We have to be intentional about connection, because we need each other. We need each other. Hebrews 10:22. Says, let us, not let you, draw near to God. We have to remember that when the Bible uses specific words, they are intentional. He doesn't say, let you draw near to God. He says, let us draw near to God. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Nothing will do wonders for your faith than turning up together. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, oh my gosh, and our bodies washed with pure waters, again, the symbol of baptism. When we get together, you need to know that you're accepted here. I don't care what you did this week. I don't care how guilty you feel about your life currently. I don't care about the struggles of sin that are in your world. You are always welcome here. And when we get together, we remind each other that our hearts have been sprinkled clean and that the conscience of our sin is gone and that we can receive fresh grace and mercy and as a community grow together. We need to be consistently reminding each other of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Keep encouraging each other to hold fast to what we believe for, to hold fast to what we hope in. Hold fast. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Man, when you get isolated, you begin to become insular. You begin to become living within yourself. You get isolated and everything that you start to worry about is all about you. And you worry about all the things that you're going through and that you're struggling with. And you begin to live a life that is shut off from faith in Christ and shut off from giving out to others. And when you're in that place, it is the worst place you can be. because you were created for connection. We are all just little insulation wires. I don't know if that's the right example. Forgive me if you're a Sparky. But we are meant to be connecting people and others to God. And we walk around by giving out something that has been given in. So we have to continually stir each other up to say, hey, are we living outside of our own existence? Or are we just using our Christianity to continue to live an individualistic lifestyle, to continue to live a mystic lifestyle that lives for me, that lives for the individual, lives for my family and my tribe and my career and my house and my car and my stuff? Or are we going to continually stir up each other to live out? Because that's when you'll be your happiest. That's when you'll be filled with the joy of God as we live out what He's put in. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Put courage in each other, and all the more as the day is drawing near. There is a great danger for Christians in isolation. Isolation is really nice. Feels good. There's nothing wrong with isolation in terms of withdrawing. I'm not suggesting that we all just go live in a commune and wear sackcloths and grow our hair and stop showering and do everything together. I will probably murder you if we try to do that. I am 1% extrovert, and the more I live pastoring people and being a daddy to children, the more introverted I'm becoming. And there's nothing wrong with withdrawing. There's nothing wrong with taking some time. But if we continue to isolate, we begin to come into a place that is dangerous. That is dangerous. We need to keep connected. If a member of my body, say my hand, decides it's had enough of me and drops off and isolates itself from the body, my body will continue to function. My body will be fine. It might be a hand less short, but it's going to keep working. That hand will stop functioning, and if it doesn't reconnect, it'll eventually die. Listen, if you disconnect yourself from this body will continue to function. Because this body is connected to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It will keep functioning, it will keep moving, it will keep going until eternity comes in or Jesus returns. It is going to keep building, growing, and going. But if you disconnect yourself from this body, you will stop functioning, and eventually you will die in your faith. And sometimes I hear of people who left church, and then they said, and the church never called me. We have to stop blaming other people and start to take ownership for our faith and not leave and get connected and stay connected. And as a church body, we need to be more radically inclusive of one another, that that doesn't happen, that we keep an eye on each other and we look after each other. But if you feel like isolating yourself, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay connected. Stay connected. The enemy will use devices to divide and isolate us. For the early church, it was persecution. It's incredible that that level of persecution that was holding people back was actually making the church grow like crazy. Because when your life is at risk, you realize how much you need each other. So persecution was dividing. It was this divisive thing that was getting in, that the enemy was using. But today he uses things a little more subtle, and a little less kind of extreme, but no less divisive. Today he uses things like the pace of life. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. It's exhausting, and we isolate. It's exhausting, and we just have a lie down. It's exhausting, and we come to church maybe once a month. And it's exhausting because we've got to be at everything. It's exhausting because I've got to get to work. It's exhausting because my children have 15 different things that I've got to get them to. It's exhausting. Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. 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 This unsustainable pace is driving us into a rhythm of life that is leading to burnout. It's leading to physical burnout, emotional burnout, and relational burnout. It is a pace of life we cannot sustain. We need to keep connected to God and to each other and fight against the pace that tries to pull us away from that. We need to fight the pace and prioritize time and space for each other. You have to personally fight the pace and decide, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep this church life, keep this community, keep my family high priority in my world. And it can seem so impossible. It can seem so like, how do we do that? You just have to do it. You have to say no to things and slow down and begin to put things in perspective of what really matters in this life. What really matters? What really matters? We've got to fight the pace and prioritize each other. Call one another. When you just think of someone, call them. Call them. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. He will talk to you and remind you of people when you're not thinking of people. And when you're not thinking of people, because you're driving to the next thing, but suddenly their thought, they just cross your mind. Call them. Call them. Eat together. Eat together. Have fellowship and community together after church, during the week. Whatever you can, keep connection and community together. Eat together. And come to church. Come to church. Not once a month, not once a fortnight, every Sunday. Come to church. Come to church. And for families, we have to keep reminding ourselves that we are bringing our kids up in the house of the Lord. That we're not driven by our children's schedules, but rather we are prioritizing God over everything. And I want to salute every parent who has young children here today that you've made a choice every single week to bring your kids up. And they will ask you to join Nippers and the soccer club and this club and that club and get you to here. But you have to be able to say, no, we're going to the church. We're going to the house of God and connecting in because we want to build a foundation in their faith that says this place, this pursuit is what life is really about. Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Oh, what time we finish now? Ah, that'll do. Let me give you one more and then we'll finish. Familiarity. When we fail to recognize the value in something, it does not change the value. It just stops us experiencing it. Just stops us experiencing it. There is something powerful when you become familiar with something, how quickly it can disengage your heart from something. Because familiarity breeds contempt. And what used to be so exciting can become something that's just normal because we can take it for granted. And we all do it. It's not a thing that is just... For some of us, we all do this. In marriage, we have to consistently be recaptured by an awe for one another. We have to be recaptured by our love for each other. Otherwise, we just get too familiar. And we forget the value that is locked up in each of us as a couple, as a community. And in church life, it is no different. Acts 2, when they all says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Yada, yada, yada. 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all. A deep sense of awe came over them all. Let's recapture the awe of what we have here. Let's recapture this incredible, incredible thing that we have, this love for each other. We have to recapture the awe of how great this church is and how much we need each other. We have to recapture the awe that we have for each other. And we have to recapture the awe of what we have. Because what we have, we can forget how powerful it is. And we can forget that what we have is what the world desperately needs. And what you sometimes think is your social choice on a weekend. Oh, what are you doing this week? Oh, I'm going to church. They have no idea what you're talking about. But they need it. Because as much as they need a Savior, they need a community that reflects the Savior's love. They need real connection and real community and people that don't judge them and people that haven't put unrealistic expectations on them and just love them for who they are and are willing to do a journey with them. They need it. So we have to be recaptured consistently by what we have here in this place that we could get it out. Show other people that here, Monday to Friday, this is just a basketball court. But on Sunday, this is the presence of God. This is the house of God. This is where believers are joined, loving one another and loving Christ, united by His Spirit, and you're welcome. We have to be radically, radically inclusive. We have to be intentionally inclusive, not just welcoming, but inviting. Inviting. Why don't we stand and we'll finish here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you could just close your eyes, and if you're here today and you know that you're not in that relationship with Christ, maybe you've been coming here for a little while, you're kind of new to church, but you know that you're not actually in a connection with Jesus Christ, I'd love to make an opportunity for you to pray a prayer and respond. The core of this community is Jesus Christ. The core pursuit and purpose of life is Jesus Christ. And He offers to us a relationship with Him whenever we are willing to believe and accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And so if you're here today, just with every eye closed, but you want to make that prayer yours here today, can you just lift your hand for me? Or maybe you've been away from God and you feel like that you need to reconnect with Him today. Just lift your hand for me so I can see it. We're going to pray a prayer. But I'd love to include you in that prayer. Is there anyone here today? Well, let's all pray this prayer. And after the service, if you're saying, you know what, I want to make that my prayer, you can come and see myself or Pastor Jeff at the end. But let's pray this prayer together as a community. Dear God, thank You for saving me. Thank You that You are my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me. Make me Your child and help me to follow You. Amen. And right now, why don't we just spend some time just lifting our hands here to God this morning or closing your eyes, whatever you're comfortable with. But maybe you're here and the pace of life is just like dragging you away from community, dragging you away from your connection with God. God has a fresh touch here for you today. It says, by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, and that we are caused to drink from that one Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to refresh your soul here today and to help you, to remind you what you need to prioritize, maybe what you need to let go for Him. That we would recenter ourselves into the most foundational relationship of our life, that with Jesus Christ and His Spirit. But that also we would recenter our lives into this body, making time for each other, thinking of one another, slowing down to be there for each other. Holy Spirit, I pray You would come and fill us afresh, correct us where You need to, bring things to our attention, maybe that we've been ignoring, but that God, here today, we let go. We let go of those things. We say, yeah, we're going to actively slow down. We're going to let go of some of those things that we can. Or maybe you've just become so familiar with this place that you have lost that heart that once burned for His bride, for His church, burned for Christ. So right here today, refresh us, God. Renew our vision for this church, for this community, in Your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys.